From the land of the Grand Theatre University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the fourth day of November 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And a bit later in the program, we'll take a look at the agricultural cash grain markets with the folks right here at the Andersons in Champaign County. Along the way, we'll get Darrell Good's latest thinking about what USDA may or may not do with the WASDE figures on Friday of this week. More importantly, what he thinks the current pace of exports looks like and how that works into the world agricultural supply and demand estimates. And it all happens right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by Justin Wood, Paul Stevens, Tim Smith, Scott Harms, and Mark Soderberg of Archer Financial Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm. You can learn more about the services they offer at 800-637-3123.
Let's check the numbers in Chicago. As they settled up from the CME Group nearby contract for the soft red winter wheat today at $6.62¾, a nickel lower on the afternoon. The March at $6.74¼, down 5½ cents. And the May future $6.80¼, that finished down 6. July contract $6.78¾, down 6 as well. The hard red in the July at $7.18½, down 4¼. December corn futures a penny lower at $4.26¼. The March at $4.37 and down a half. And the May futures at $4.44¾, down 1. July contract at $4.51½ in the corn pit, 3/4 lower. September at $4.58, down 3/4. December of next year, $4.66¾. That finished the day unchanged. November beans, $12.64. Settlement price down 2 cents, and now things turn green. January futures at $12.56½, up a nickel. March contract in the bean pit at $12.41, up 4. And the May at $12.31. And that contract finished up 2½ cents. July futures, $12.27¾, up 3¼. And the November beans of next year, $11.49¼, up 3½ cents. For the day, bean meal futures, $2 higher at $3.96.90. And the bean oil at $41.25, down 34 cents. Live cattle futures finished the lead option December at $132.10, up 2½. February, 20 cents higher at $133.67½, and November feeder cattle at $163.60, up a dime for the day. January futures $163.85, up 37½ cents. December lean hogs $88.32½, down 2½, and the February futures there at $91.57½, up 35 cents on this Monday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, December contract, $94.56 a barrel. That's a nickel lower. December gasoline and the RBOB for the wholesale price at $2.52¾, down a penny and 7 cents. Ethanol futures at $1.72, a nickel lower. And the difference between the two is 88½ cents wide. That's a penny narrower than it was on Friday afternoon. December natural gas at $3.44¼, down 6⅛ cents, and diesel fuel at $2.87¼ to 0.7 cents lower on the afternoon. December gold futures on the finish for the afternoon at $1.50 higher at $1,314.70 a troy ounce, and the U.S. dollar at 80.55. That's down 0.16 for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area today. Partly sunny skies, a high near 51 degrees this afternoon, a southwest wind at 15 to 18, gusting to 29. Tonight, mostly cloudy and a low of 45, south winds at 8 to 13, gusting to 16. And then tomorrow, a 20% chance of rain showers after the noon hour, cloudy and a high of 60 degrees. Showers are likely on Tuesday evening, though they'll mainly come after midnight, cloudy and a low of 49. And Wednesday showers, a high of 58 degrees. Chance of rainfall on Wednesday set at 90%. Those showers will go right into Wednesday evening when it'll be mostly cloudy and a low of 38 with a chance of rainfall set at 60%. Thursday, mostly sunny skies and 48. Thursday evening, mostly clear and 31. And on Friday, sunny and 51. Friday night, clear and 36. Saturday, sunny and 54 degrees. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour right here on Illinois Public Media. This is the November 4 edition of the Closing Market Report. Find us online at willag.org. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. In a moment, we'll talk with Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
Let's check now the numbers as they finished up in Chicago. Kurt Kimmel is here from Bates Commodities. Good afternoon to you, Kurt. How are you today?
Good, Todd. Thank you.
Well, it's kind of an interesting day, mostly, I suppose, waiting for the November 8th, 11 a.m. Central Time release of the WASDE and crop production reports. And then, of course, there's also the crop progress report due out this afternoon.
Yeah, this afternoon's report, I don't know if it'll be that big of a market maker. Bean harvest expected to be close to 90% complete. Corn harvest, 75, 78%. Complete, and with the weather, it's slowing down a little bit, but, you know, there's been enough harvest activity and production good enough that we've seen, you know, some grain move into the pipeline, and that's been reflected by the exports and shipments. We've moved a record amount of grain out of the country on the export side of the equation in a short period of time, you know, suggesting that the world was pretty well hungry and had the transportation lined up, and it's moving. And it looks like China's booked just about all the tugboats, ferries, rafts, everything through January at least. And we'll see if, you know, if this demand continues to come at us. You know, the concern is that, you know, we might be a little front-end loaded here in the meantime. But you're exactly correct. The end users got enough coverage here for right now. The speculative crowds eased off here on the trading grain futures. You know, we only traded the funds about 2,000 corn contracts midday, and that's way down, about 1,200 bean contracts. And, you know, unless something blows up somewhere, I think everybody's waiting to see what the report shows Friday morning, Todd.
So if you're correct, and we are front-end loaded, and by the numbers that we see from both the export inspections and commitments on corn and soybeans, that is the case. And producers have shut the bin doors. Does that mean that the better-than-expected basis could fall apart fairly quickly, depending on what happens on Friday with the USDA report?
Well, we feel it's going to hold together and do the seasonality up into mid-December. Our fear is after the first of the year.
Okay.
I sort of explained to Dave this morning here, it's kind of like going to the buffet. You know, you don't eat all day, and you're hungry, and you're empty. You go to the buffet, you sit there for about an hour, or Dave said 2 hours for him. You know, you sit there, well, that's enough for now. I don't want to do this for a while. That's
right.
My fear is that we'll get enough coverage, and after the first of the year, we'll see them say, well, that's enough. And the producer says, well, I put it in storage. I need some money. And I think the basis will fall off after the first of the year.
Right. Well, January and February would be delivery months for the most part, if you've got things that are booked, and I would think some of the bin doors would be opening up to at least core out more of their grain bins because they normally would. That could be an interesting problem to have to face.
Yeah, we'll see what develops here. There's still plenty of storage, and there'll be guys, gals store this stuff for another 1, 2, 3, 4 years down the road. But that's our concern as a producer here. If you've stored it, we'd like to target that mid-December or some type of strength going into year-end to maybe make some catch-up sales and then see what after the first year.
So you're going to do that cash-wise and then cover them or do nothing with them after you do it?
All of the above. It just depends what your comfort zone is. You know, there's a large listenership out there that don't want to do
right.
The futures or options or anything, so strictly cash, you know, target that. We've had a lot of guys move some cash grain here this fall. We've replaced some ownership with the idea we'll try to capture, you know, 20 to 30 cents up if we can, to try to add to that bottom line. We don't really foresee a big up here unless we start seeing some problems in the southern hemisphere. And as of right now, that southern hemisphere looks fairly good, Todd.
Is there a difference between the corn plan and the soybean plan?
Well, on the beans, we've been a little bit more aggressive on moving the beans and replacing them. Seems like guys were a little bit more eager to store some corn in some areas, but it varies from guy to guy. But we've been mainly replacing ownership in the back end of the beans with the idea the southern hemisphere gets in trouble, that the May and July contracts will gain on the spread there.
How you doing? How you dealing with the livestock producers at this point then? Are you... You have them covered already, and you're waiting for another dip in January to finish things off, or what's happening there?
No, they've been buying this break in through here. Ideas are that you know, get some coverage on, and for guys who've booked some cash, we bought some put options to cover in case we go on lower here and sort of hedge that purchase there. Otherwise, mid-February would be the next time window for livestock producers to book on out to the summer months.
Any projections for both the crop production and the WASDE figures?
Well, I kind of feel, from a conservative and producer's point of view, to kind of keep an eye on the bottom line. You know, the upper part of the supply-demand balance sheet, you're going to see a lot of movement there. You know, yield, harvested acres, and you know, just about every demand number is going to change there. We kind of feel the corn carryout's close to 2 billion bushels and the bean carryout's close to 160 million bushels. And at this time, that's ample supplies to work with as we go through this early winter time window.
Hey, thanks so much.
Take care. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. That is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Monday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Leonard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Leonard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Hey, have you visited our website recently? If not, you probably ought to give it a shot. willag.org. That's willag.org. Try it on your smartphone, too. It sizes down. If you don't like that one, go to m.willag.org. They're two different sites. They look slightly different, and you can have your choice. It's a great way to get our programming. We post it all there in its entirety. You'll find the times right there on our website at willag.org. It's part of the service that comes to you from Illinois Public Media.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Now here's Dave with today's Ag News.
In agricultural news, the World Trade Organization's Director General has set a week from today, that's Monday, November 11th, as a deadline for WTO members to decide whether to continue pursuing a deal on a package of agreements for the organization's December 3rd through 6th ministerial conference in Bali, or to admit defeat and seek a less ambitious outcome for the meeting. WTO officials say the decision came at the end of what they described as an intense week of negotiations in Geneva. Kellogg says it will trim its global workforce by 7% as part of a cost-cutting plan, with the cereal maker citing weaker-than-expected sales for the year. The maker of Frosted Flakes and Eggo waffles said it expects earnings per share for the year to be toward the lower end of its previous forecast. The workforce reductions will take place by 2017. For the quarter, Kellogg Company says it earned $326 million, or 90 cents a share. A year ago, the company earned $318 million, or 89 cents a share. Estimates from the trade are in for Friday's crop production and WASDE reports. The numbers look like this on the production side. The average guess for corn, 14.029 billion bushels with a yield of 159.2. The trade believing harvested acres will come in at 88.069 million versus USDA's 89.135. For soybeans, the trade believes production at 3.215 billion bushels with a yield of 42.3. Harvested acres pegged by the trade at 75.888 million versus USDA's number of 76.378 million acres. The Future Farmers of America hit a record enrollment of 579,000 members this year. Nearly 56,000 FFA members and advisors participated in the four-day annual convention last week. A Purdue University study funded by USDA found nearly 54,000 jobs will be available in sectors under the broad category of agriculture, from on-farm production to forestry and fishing to food science and animal health through 2015. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Now up next, you know the apparent pace of commodity exports from the United States has many wondering if USDA's September estimate is, well, too low. Those numbers will be updated this Friday. I'll have more in a moment.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
The pace of exports of corn and soybeans from the United States, well, it's running fast. And corn shipments are 30% ahead of last year, and two-thirds of the expected total for the marketing year has already been booked. Soybeans are in a similar situation as it pertains to the export commitments that are 25% bigger than a year ago and 85% booked. However, that quick pace doesn't mean much, says University of Illinois ag economist Darrell Good.
Over the previous 10 years, corn exports during the first quarter of the marketing year averaged 26% of the total for the year, but that first quarter performance ranged from 22 to 30% of the total. The pattern of sales for corn was even more varied, with export sales at the end of the first quarter of the year averaging 49% of the total exports for the year, but ranging from 36 to 66%.
A similar scattered pattern exists for soybean exports. However, Good admits this year's commitments, or bushels booked and not shipped for both commodities, is unusually large relative to USDA's September export forecast.
With a very large corn crop, U.S. corn exports may well exceed the current projection. Larger exports would in turn result in smaller year-ending stocks than would otherwise occur, but probably would not result in higher corn prices.
This is because the increase in corn exports likely depends on a decrease in the price of corn. The story for soybeans, well, that one's different, says Darrell Good.
For soybeans, exports to exceed the current projection would require the U.S. crop to exceed the current forecast. That's because year-ending stocks are already projected to be very small. As a result, there is some chance that soybean prices will have to remain high enough to limit consumption in the face of strong export demand. The size of the USDA's November 8th crop forecast will determine to a large extent whether or not such rationing is required.
USDA will update the export picture for corn and soybeans this Friday at 11 o'clock Central Time with the release of the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates, or WASDE report. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, on this Monday afternoon, let's check in on the cash grain market. Amy Sage is here from the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Amy.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Yeah, well, first questions first. Are you busy today? Because it sure looks like everybody's done in our immediate area.
That's very true. But surprisingly, we have had quite a bit of truck traffic today. And, not just from a couple people. It seems like mostly coming from the east of us, more towards the state line, and even in Indiana is where we're seeing guys gradually getting finished up, but still dumping a decent amount of corn for what we would have expected.
In a good year, the Andersons here in Champaign County has a grain pile to the west of the facility, and that is the case this year. How big is it?
2 million.
And is that about normal for the size, I think, right?
Yep, anywhere from 2 to 4 typically, so...
And then if you have had grain in the elevator, you usually have something there in the parking lot on the east side of the facility, but I haven't seen anything there yet.
No, we haven't needed to go there, so I still have a short walk inside in the morning.
Oh,
so.
That's a good thing, especially as it gets colder. So how quickly will you move the 2 million out? That's normally a pretty quick ship, I think.
Yep. I would guess that you probably won't be seeing that here by the end of the month. It'll probably be gone by then. So if not, it'll be early December. So
rail bids to the southeast still good?
Yes, they have been. Surprisingly strong here. I think what we're seeing is we're getting into the last bit of harvest, everybody kind of wanting to get their hands on the remainder that's out there to fill up or take advantage of the strength in the market at this point. So.
And Decatur's been bidding pretty substantially for corn as well.
They have been, yes. So that's another plus to the producers. We're seeing the processor market strengthen, too, as we get to the end of harvest here.
So basis has remained strong. Do you expect it to fall off anytime soon?
It seems like we're going to have to get through harvest here for that to happen, but we haven't seen a ton of farmer movement. A majority of what's been coming in has been applied to contracts, which we know there wasn't a whole lot contracted prior to harvest this year, but then a lot's been going on DP, so we haven't seen a lot of farmer selling, so that could keep basis levels a little bit stronger.
There are years collectively when farmers are one way or the other that they are very right, and some years collectively where they are very wrong. What do you think that at this point they might be? And I know that's a really hard question for you to answer.
It is. People were not aggressive selling this year. I understand why. We've come off of a couple years where it's paid not to do that. We turned off hot and dry, so you want to be conservative. But unfortunately, I don't see us gaining a dollar back in this corn market on the futures end. So I think we're going to be having to take advantage of small rallies, both futures and basis.
What do you see in the soybean market?
Bean market, we obviously took some out of it here, but basis has remained firm in the bean market as well. We rolled over to the January futures market last week. We're seeing commercials being on either side of the November as we're in delivery here right now. Beans I see a little bit more strength in just because demand for beans has been so strong. We've seen better than expected yields, but I think we probably will have a window. I think there's a window there, though. I think we'll have to get something done before we start to see South America come online. So I'll be looking to do something before the end of February, but I think there could still be a pop in beans.
And your bids for the day?
Yes, sir. Cash beans and December delivery beans are both $12.51. March beans, $12.36. July, $12.28. Fall 2014, $11.24. Cash corn today is $4.17. December delivery, also $4.17. January, $4.22. March, $4.26. July, $4.39. Fall 2014, $4.42.
It's National Candy Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1841, Benjamin Goodrich was born. An American industrialist, he founded Goodrich Two & Company in Akron, Ohio in 1870. A decade later, the company became known by its more familiar name, B.F. Goodrich. The company was known for a number of innovations, including adding carbon to the rubber to improve tire wear and the invention of the first synthetic rubber tires in 1937. Also in 1841, the first wagon train arrived in California. In 1873, Anthony Iski was issued a patent for a meat slicing machine. It worked much like a mandolin with a frame to hold the meat while sliding it against the blade. In 1879, James and John Riddy invented the first cash register. They came up with the idea to prevent bartenders from stealing at the Pony House restaurant in Dayton, Ohio. The first model looked like a clock, but instead of the hands indicating hours and minutes, they indicated dollars and cents. Also in 1879, inventor Thomas Elkins received a patent for a refrigerating machine which could be used to cool food. And that's this day in agricultural history.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Monday afternoon. Let's check the weather forecast. Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City dropped us a line. Here's what he has to say.
Most of the Midwest is still expecting to see a couple of storm systems impact the region both this week and again next week. The two storms that are advertised are still going to be significant enough that we will see precipitation slow down, if not stall, field work across the region. Both the harvest of summer crops as well as the planting of winter wheat will be disrupted. The first event is already getting underway in portions of the western Corn Belt today, but we'll probably see the precipitation becoming a little bit more meaningful overnight tonight and tomorrow in the western Corn Belt. And it will probably see the precipitation coming to an end in the west sometime during the day on Wednesday. In the eastern Midwest, most of the precipitation is expected to evolve on Tuesday late and probably go on into Thursday. And Wednesday will certainly be the wetter day. We'll expect the precipitation in most of the region from eastern Nebraska and eastern portions of Kansas all the way over into Wisconsin and Michigan, probably run anywhere from 3 or 4 tenths of an inch upwards to an inch, and there'll probably be some locations that will get upwards to an inch and a third. Most of the greater amounts of precipitation will probably be focused on the area from Missouri to Michigan, as we've seen in previous storm systems, and we'll probably look for a several-day period of drying that will take place after that. The problem is that the temperatures don't really warm up very well behind this event, and the same situation occurred over the weekend. We did see some drying in the soil, but fieldwork was a little sluggish in getting started because of the fact that the ground needed more time to dry down. Well, that will be the case both this week and next week. We expect to see afternoon temperatures here over the next couple of days to be still in the 50s and 60s in the eastern Midwest, and that'll certainly be welcome as far as encouraging some drying conditions and some field work. But the western Corn Belt will not be quite so warm, especially not tomorrow. And as we move on into Wednesday, we'll probably see temperatures turn cooler from west-east across the region. By the time we get to the end of this week and behind the storm system, we'll probably see highs limited to the 40s and 50s across a big part of the region, and lows at night dropping back into the 20s and 30s in the northwestern half of the region, and 30s and lower 40s in the southeast. We will see some warming take place again as we get into the weekend coming up ahead of the second storm system. And that second storm system is expected to impact much of the Midwest as we go through the middle part of next week. Again, another generalized rain event, and somewhat similar to this event this week as well as the one that occurred last week. In the meantime, in South America, two storm systems will likely move through Argentina, and these two storm systems will see to it that fieldwork does not move along very quickly across the country. Of course, last week there was a general soaking that took place across the country, in the heart of the nation, in fact, right across the most important corn and soybean production areas. Totals range from 3.5 to 5 inches, with local totals to 7 inches. Well, this week we're likely to see anywhere from 1/4 to 3/4 of an inch, with local amounts to 1.25 inches occurring Wednesday into Friday, and then we may see some 1 to 3 inch amounts with local totals upwards to 4 or 5 inches possible again over the weekend. And in Brazil, looks like everybody's going to get rain at one time or another over the next couple of weeks. However, this week we'll likely see net drying conditions occur in many areas across the south and some center south locations.
Our thanks go to Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City for his update of the agricultural weather forecast across the planet. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org.